Hello and welcome back to episode 4 of Three Scarves Gaming. Today, we're going to be recording our Valentine's Day special, but since we don't care about all of the lovey-dovey aspects of video games, and also because we haven't played any dating sims at all, we are going to be covering health systems and hearts in video games. But first, a quick word from our sponsor. Hello, my name is Eric.
I'm Evan.
And my name's Jeremy.
Today, we're going to be talking about heart and health systems in video games because that's our Valentine's Day special. And since we're all single and we don't play any dating sims, right? You guys are all single?
Yeah.
I'm assuming. Yeah, and since we don't play any dating sims or games with romance in them, we're going to instead be talking about the next best thing, which is hearts in video games. So let's list some games that use hearts.
Terraria, Binding of Isaac, that's all I know.
Minecraft.
Wait, Terraria uses hearts? Oh, wait, shoot. Yeah, Terraria does use hearts. My bad. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, Minecraft.
Okay, Minecraft. Undertale, the player character, is a heart.
Yes.
I mean, technically, it's a human, but then when you go into a battle, it becomes a heart.
It's like
technically.
It's a human heart, right?
It's also blue.
Sometimes.
No, it's red.
Sometimes. Wait, what's the blue one?
The blue one is when you have gravity.
Ah, yes. Oh, yeah, the heart changes colors based on the properties of your heart. Yes.
Yes.
Very nice. What else is hearts?
I don't know.
I think we're already running out of ideas again.
Okay, wait. We can save this. What else is hearts? Seriously, let's think. Terraria, Undertale, Minecraft. Oh, Legend of Zelda?
Oh, yeah,
you know,
that
has always traditionally used hearts.
That's really all I got.
Binding of Isaac, like you said.
Yeah.
Oh, Enter the Gungeon uses hearts.
I mean, technically they're bullets.
They're bullets shaped like hearts.
You know what? Let's count that.
They're hearts, you know. Enter the Gungeon uses hearts. I think that's enough, maybe.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, right. So I want to know what you guys think of, like, why do you think that they have always used hearts in video games?
I'm thinking they're, like, easy to, like, show proportions of health. Because, like, in Binding of Isaac to Terraria, like, a certain portion of a heart is, like, this much HP lost. And where, like, entire health means, like, entire unit of health.
Well, I mean, that's, like, mechanically why, right? That's, like, you can show that with, like, a basic health points bar. But why use hearts and not use corn?
It's probably used to, like, in my opinion, I feel like it's, like, meant to, like, catch the player's eyes, like, something important.
And there's also, it's symbolism, right? Because the heart represents vitality, and when you die, your vitality runs out, unless your player character just has 17 hearts sitting somewhere in his body. But otherwise, you know.
Yes. Legend of Zelda. Whenever you upgrade the amount of hearts you have with the heart container, you just stick another, you know, human heart into your body.
And in Binding of Isaac, like, you actually do.
What?
They are actually hearts. You have soul hearts, which are like gray health bars that act like armor. Demon hearts.
Wait. I don't understand. Are you actually sticking hearts into your body?
I mean, not really, but you find cartoon hearts everywhere, and there are heart accessories that relate to like increasing your health, though they're actual human hearts.
Yeah, Binding of Isaac has some really...
it's dark.
Yeah, really dark imagery.
That's kind of morbid.
It's about Christians, and it's about angels and demons and stuff. What do you think, Zach?
Cool.
Yes.
Well, the heart represents vitality, right?
And
like, a beating heart means you live, and a...
Non-beating heart means you're definitely dead.
Or a non-existent one.
Or a non-existent heart.
Or empty heart vessel.
Or... What?
That's really specific.
Where's the empty heart vessel from?
Any, like, games that, like... You know how, like, sometimes when you lose a heart, there's, like, this, like, weird black heart.
There's an outline of the heart?
Yeah, technically that's an empty heart vessel.
Right, I see.
You have nothing in it. Okay. You're empty, like me.
Wait, no.
Someone send this man some help. Yes, hearts. Okay, but like, so mechanically they make sense, right?
Yeah.
A heart represents vitality, and you know, it's like an easy meterful, an easy quantifiable system of displaying your health points, right? But symbolically, you know, what does the heart mean? What has the heart meant in history, you know? Like, it's meant love. Any other things?
Emotions in general?
Emotion.
what you feel, how you feel right now, I guess.
Yeah, like,
because if you have a demon heart and ice binding of ice, technically you're partially demonic now.
They've historically made very good human sacrifices.
Oh yeah, didn't they like to eat them
too? I feel like we went from like a Valentine's special to a Halloween special.
Well, let's like, you know, you do what you got to do, right? And
it's like it's like when you don't play any dating sims, you're gonna have to improvise.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess so.
But, we are all lonely deep inside.
No comment.
I wouldn't. Yeah, I'll. No comment. I'll stick to that too. But, you know, the heart has long represented things like, you know, who you are, right? Like, as a person. And when you lose, you know, when people say you're heartless, it means that you're like, not even like a person, you know? You're like cold.
Yeah, a monster.
A monster, right?
Yeah.
And so,
or you're dead.
Or that. And I think, doesn't Undertale, like, use hearts very sparingly, but, like, it's a symbol of, like, determination.
Well, in Undertale, yeah, your heart is literally your soul.
Yeah.
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 And so, yes. Depending on what path you take, you can either corrupt your soul and actually, or, like, keep your soul in the same and actually, like, find a way to, like, get out of the scenario or, like, the fulfill the plot that you're supposed to fulfill in Undertale. No spoilers.
Right. And, like, a heart, you know, like you said, in Undertale, hearts traditionally represent what the soul is. And it's like, when you lose hearts in a video game, you're like, I don't know, losing part of yourself. Maybe not in, like, not so deep video games.
And also, like, just a health technically, meter. Undertale, you can use, your heart becomes, like, cursed, like, selecting choices, right? Besides, it's like,
no, it's, that's not exactly how it works.
I mean, technically, the heart actually acts like the cursor.
Your ending is affected by the choices that you make, right? You played Undertale recently.
Yeah,
right?
But so, you're yeah. Like,
how do the mechanics work?
There's a heart in a box. You move it around so you don't die.
Well, it's like, you know, not the battle mechanics, but like what determines your ending? You know, how does that heart symbolize a lot of the stuff that, you know, Undertale?
Oh boy. Okay. well, I suppose your heart. I don't know how to answer this question.
Well, it's like, you know how we were saying that, like, in Undertale, the heart, you know, Jeremy was saying the heart gets corrupted, but that's not actually what happens. It's like, your choices determine the ending that you get, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, why choose a heart to represent you? You know, why not just a human being inside a box running around? But why is it a heart that represents your player character?
It could represent, like, your soul, like, choosing things. Because, like, in, like, battles, you can, like, your heart, like, technically acts as, like, your, like, menu select icon that, like, you can move around and, like, use the heart to, like, select choices that, well, sometimes determine, like, the outcome of a battle. Like, where you rather kill the enemy or actually help spare the enemy and not kill it.
Yeah, you know, besides the fact that it would kind of have, it would be kind of weird to have a person just sort of T-posing in a box.
I shall assert dominance upon my enemies.
The heart is sort of like, it is a very simple, but it's a powerful sort of imagery. And yeah, as Jeremy said, when you use the heart, you know, you do use it to avoid bullets and such, but you also use it to make decisions. And whether that be how do we say this in a way that doesn't get us demonetized?
You either game end.
How do you pronounce it?
I got you.
Wait, but it's like, what were you saying?
So I can either decide to spare them or don't spare them.
Or kill them.
Yes.
Yeah, I think kill is an okay word.
This is fine, right, Anchor?
I hope.
Yeah, but, you know, you either have to choose to kill them, spare them, or run away. And those are really... I mean, those are really the most important decisions. Those, besides, you know, going on dates. Oh, wait, no, there are dates in Undertale. That's the thing. Oh, I have played dating sims in that case.
No, wait, Undertale isn't a dating sim. But it's like the weightiness of, like, a heart. You, your soul, your person. The thing that defines you making these choices, whether to, like, kill or to spare.
We should probably use game
other living beings, you know?
We should use game end instead of kill. More family friendly, am I right,
game
guys?
What?
Game end.
No, just kill.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, give those monsters a game over screen.
And I think that what Undertale tries to do is it makes all the characters very human. Like, they're all monsters, but they're also all... they're pursuing something, you know? Like, I don't know. Do you have a favorite character from Undertale?
Oh, boy. I don't know, actually. Because if I said spoilers, I feel like... Oh no. Oh no. I'm stuck in a cycle of saying
spoilers.
No.
For just this. Okay. We'll allow spoilers for this episode. So, you know, if you haven't played Undertale yet, you should go play it and then come back. And if you don't care about spoilers, keep on listening.
Okay, so in Undertale, when you name your character, you're not actually naming the person that you control. You're actually naming, I guess, the first human that fell into the underground before your player character ever did. And I guess that's my favorite character because, as the game shows, they're kind of messed up in the head a little.
Humans or monsters?
Yeah, sort of like that. Oh boy, I'm stuttering again. But really, I feel like the reason why I like the character is because the way you act in the game actually can influence their character as you progress through the game. Like, if you decide to go through the game while murdering everyone, they turn into this sort of dark, really twisted entity that gains the power to actually just destroy the entire world. Whereas if you play through it in a relatively normal fashion or a pacifistic fashion, then they really develop a sort of milder personality.
Right.
Less murdery.
I see. Do you have a favorite monster or character from Undertale, Jeremy?
No.
Have you played Undertale?
Not really, but I know the concepts.
You know basics. The concepts of Undertale?
Basics and all the meme. I know, like, the one meme character. That's it.
Papyrus or Sans?
Shit!
Whoa!
Please no screeching. We don't want to break anyone's ears.
I was trying to imitate Serpello.
Who?
You remember Serpello?
No.
the Sans scream?
No.
Oh my god, you have to watch
let's
it.
Let's not emulate that. But I think that, yeah, for sure. You talked about, like, the humans that first fell into the underground. But, you know, I think that also what Undertale does is it makes both parties very human if you get to know them. Like, the humans actually sometimes come across as less human than the monsters, you know? Because, big spoiler alert, this is literally one of the endings that you're going to get. Again, if you have not played Undertale, it is an excellent game, and it's like, what, $10?
Yeah, I think it's a little more, but around that price, yeah.
Around that price? Yeah. If you have not played it, go play it. It is an amazing game. And if you don't care about spoilers, I guess you don't care about spoilers, you know? So, in the ending for the genocide route, in which Evan described earlier, where you kill everything to death.
Yes.
And you have to actively put effort into killing everything. You can't just walk through the level and kill everything that you see. You have to walk around in circles.
Until you encounter every enemy.
Yes.
Yeah. You're committing war crimes.
Kill them to death.
Yes.
If I stab them, they will die.
You are correct. Yeah, your character's equipped with a knife after all, right?
I think you got a toy knife at the beginning of the game and a real knife at the end of the game. But
Wait. How does the main character kill an enemy with a toy knife?
Well,
how?
In Undertale, the monsters are, unlike us human beings, who are flesh and blood mostly, they're made of magic. So it means that your intent when harming them affects your attack power. And I guess when you use a toy knife and you think really hard about killing them and you hit them, I guess they die harder.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting because it's like...
imagination.
I think, like, your heart, right? Like, it represents your soul, and whenever you choose to attack a monster, you're sort of shedding away a bit of that humanity that, like, you had before, you know? Because, like you said, it's not the weapon, it's the malicious intent, right? And so, you know, every time you kill a monster, whether it be for survival or just in cold blood, you're tossing away some of that humanity that you had at the beginning of the game. And I think that's just conceptually really interesting. I don't know, but back to, like, the, like, humanizing monsters and humans. So at the end of the genocide route, which after you kill everything and you've thrown away all of your humanity and stuff, Sans, the final boss character, confronts you. Everyone knows Sans.
Yeah, that's why you made that screech earlier, because I remember someone made a meme about it. It was really funny. It was just some screeching Sans. Great. In a funny, really funny way.
Well, you know, Sans is actually so big now that he's in Smash.
Well, he's a Mii character in
Smash.
He's just skin.
But imagine, like, your character from an indie game getting into one of the biggest game franchises of the modern day.
And not to mention it's also on Switch.
Yeah.
A bit of a tangent, the Knight from Hollow Knight isn't in Switch, and I'm still, not in Switch, isn't in Smash, and I'm still kind of salty about that.
Yeah. But, like, the gravity of Sans being in Smash is, like, the gravity of Mario is in this game, Solid Snake is in this game, Samus is in this game, Simon and Richter from the Castlevania series are in this game. Who else is in this game? Joker from Persona is in this game, and then Sans from a small indie game.
And then Cuphead.
And Cuphead as well are in this game, and that's insane. But that was a tangent. But the humanity of Sans is really interesting because how I think, like, Toby Fox presents us with, like, his argument is that, like, you've just gone on this run of Undertale where you went out of your way to kill everything that you could. And then at the end, you're confronted with your sins, you know? You're confronted with this ultra-powerful being that has, like, control, that has the ability to potentially destroy the world, you know? And then you're forced to, like, either repent for your actions or, you know, finally, like, kill the last monster. And I think at that point, there's a strange irony where even though you're represented by a heart, you know, this soul that has been given to you, you know, you've tossed away so much of your humanity that, like, the very thing that you came down here to destroy is now more human than you.
Damn.
Which is, like, a really deep, like, philosophical take on, you know, the, like, sort of, like, the duality of man and, you know,
how what it means to be a monster versus how to actually be a man.
To be a man or a human, you know, even just, yeah, exactly. And the heart symbolizes so much more than health in this game, you know, especially with the way we've analyzed it. You know, like you said, Jeremy, making choices.
Yeah.
Is what your heart does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually they use that, like, mechanic in the Sans fight as well. I'm not going to spoil it.
We've spoiled so much already. Just go for
it. Yeah, okay. So, in the at near the end of the battle, if you manage to survive long enough, you end up stuck in a dodging areas area.
Yeah.
And you can't, like, select it, move your move the heart to, like, make any choices in the main menu for, like, attacking, etc. So you have to wait until, like, the main Sans drops his guard, and then you have to move the actual dodging area to, like, the attack choice,
right,
and then click it, right, which is meta game. Meta.
It's so, you know, this entire time, it's like you played Undertale recently, you know, like, with the battle mechanics.
Yeah.
If you care to explain, you know, for us.
Oh boy, battle mechanics. Okay.
Or just general battle mechanics, you know.
Okay, how do I say this beyond you move around in a box and avoid the sharp things that are going in their direction?
I think that's enough.
I mean, that's basically
and then you have a time mini game for, like, attacking.
Yeah.
Of course, there are other soul modes, but with your basic red heart, that's what it is.
Yeah, and so you move around in a box and dodge spiky things. And, you know, this box is sort of like your world during combat. You're not allowed to go outside of it. And, you know, well, when you make choices, you're obviously outside of it, but when you're in combat, that's your world, right? But then with the Sans fight at the end of the fight,
you're stuck in that world, and you have to actually move that world towards your, like, other world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you've committed genocide. You've become the very thing you sworn to destroy.
Monster committed war crime.
Human committing war crime.
Human monster committing war crime.
Yeah, that.
There we go.
And so, yeah, what were you going to say? Sorry.
What was I going to say? Oh, I don't know. I kind of forgot.
Oh,
No. So I think besides in the main game that you play, I think the story or the background of Undertale is that humans actually chased monsters down into where they are now because they feared what they could do with the power of a human soul. So monsters by themselves aren't very powerful, but if they get a hold of a human soul, like, they actually have the power to destroy everything.
Yeah, I see. So that's cool.
Like, putting the monster in the monster if you, like, make terrible decisions committing massive war crimes.
Yeah, I mean, I think, isn't one of the boss fights Undyne actually completely based off, like, didn't she melt because...
too determined to kill you.
Yeah, so it's like, you as a human, you know, your heart represents everything that you are, and part of that heart, part of that soul that you know defines you is like having traits that, you know, allow you to progress through the game, and that's what defines the respawn mechanic, and it's really clever and everything. And so it's like, you know, the main thing is determination, right? And Undyne, one of the bosses in the game, is actually so determined to have this humanity for herself, to have these qualities, that she melts herself, which is kind of gruesome, but it's like, you know, the heart has gone so much deeper than just a way to show your health.
It's like an actual, like, representation of your character.
Yeah. And I think that Undertale achieves that really well in a way that other games don't, you know? So what did you think of Undertale when you finished?
Well, I finished the pacifist, true pacifist ending. I kind of, I'm in the middle of the genocide ending. I've actually been in the middle of the genocide ending for a couple of weeks because I'm hesitant to go back to it.
Yeah.
Because I just killed Undyne and,
That's where it gets hard, no?
Yeah. Well, everything's easy, I think, until you get to Sands.
Basically. Well, have fun with the Papyrus fight.
Oh, no. I feel like I already killed Papyrus.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, wait, don't you kill Papyrus first in Sands?
Yeah, it's Papyrus in the Snow Town and the Undyne at the Waterfall.
Oh, yes.
And then some other stuff and then Sands.
Right, yeah. So, you know, how did you feel about your pacifist run?
My pacifist run, it was... Well, I feel like the experience for me was a little different because I came into the game already knowing what to do. But... It was kind of unique as a game because you really didn't have to kill anything. It was just like, hey, be friends with this, be friends with that, and go on a couple of dates or two and get the true ending.
Yeah, and it's like, do you think that capitalized on the humanity of the monsters?
Yeah.
Do you think you remained human through your run through?
In the true pacifist run, yeah, absolutely. And especially because in the world, you do see some small glimpses of the human side of the monsters. But especially on the dates, you get to interact with them on a more personal level. And it really shows that they're more than just sort of background things in a game, or more than just EXP that you get to level up.
Yeah, and I think that's really just innovative. And that's probably why Undertale blew up, you know?
Yeah.
An innovative battle system, and then a really deep philosophical, you know, question about, you've come down into this cavern to kill monsters, but do you come out of the cavern as a human, or have you become what you've sworn to destroy? And, you know, that's a deeply philosophical question for another episode. But back to the discussion of hearts, there are also less deep games that use hearts.
Yeah, we already talked about Terraria and Binding of Isaac.
Expand on Terraria and Minecraft, because those two are like just clones, basically, almost.
Oh, they're similar, but not the... Not
similar, just... but not similar. Same concept of mining, but Terraria is a lot more about, 2D exploration and stuff?
More about fighting bosses and...
Yeah, and Minecraft is just build... Thing.
Yeah, Minecraft is more of a sandbox game. Terraria definitely has more combat elements.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Terraria more, to be honest.
Yeah, I would argue that I like Terraria a lot more as well.
Fun fact, if you take damage, you don't immediately, like, lose a heart if you take damage, but, like, hearts get more transparent the more damage you take. And when you take, like, 25 25 damage, that's, like, how much a heart shows, then, like, the heart's, like, completely gone. It's just, like, an invisible piece.
Right, I see.
Yeah.
That's cool. You know, and with Minecraft, when you get hit, you lose hearts in increments of half hearts.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's, like, this is a much more simplistic and less symbolic way of using hearts in a video game.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
It's cool. Did you know...
I agree. It is cool, yes.
Yeah, also, like, I remember seeing this... Like, in Minecraft, if you have especially low health, about, like, half a heart left, your, like, health bar starts to shake a lot.
Oh, yes, your health bar does.
I guess it, like, kind of represents, like, if any heart, like, in panic mode because you're about to die. I'm going to die.
You know what sets your real heart into panic mode? Turning around and seeing a creeper.
Oh, hi there. Is that my death approaching me?
Just always have a shield with you. When you look around, if you see a creeper, just hold your shield up. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Probably. If you're suicidal, go for it.
That's another topic entirely.
That's
yeah.
A topic back on track. Yes. You know? But
yeah,
Minecraft and Terraria use hearts much more simplistically, and it's just basic health meters. So why do you think they opted for hearts instead of, like, in Pokemon they use an HP system? You know,
I mean, Minecraft's meant to be a game for all ages, right?
Well, I mean, Pokemon is too.
Yeah.
So why doesn't Pokemon use hearts?
I feel like when it comes to Pokemon, seeing health bars is easier, like, cause like it kind of shows like how much you have. But like in terms of Minecraft health bars, it's not going to be appealing.
I mean,
Pokemon, I don't know why, to be honest.
In Pokemon, with their health, they have like numbers, like really precise numbers.
Oh wait, yeah,
that's hundreds true. And hundreds. In Minecraft, that would just sort of be a weird system.
I feel like it could be just because like Pokemon's an RPG and like it has to be more tactical, so they use health bars to like represent health better.
Well, that's true.
But like Minecraft is like more of a calm game that like requires you to build and stuff.
From like a not so much a mechanical standpoint, but more from like a symbolic standpoint again, you know.
Well, it's easy to recognize, you know, because when you first go into the game, if you have no experience with it, it's like, what's this red bar do? What's this blue bar do? Why is there a green bar next to those bars?
Yeah.
But when you see a heart, you're like, oh, okay, so those are little red things, and if I get hurt, those little red things get smaller and smaller. I must be slowly dying.
I think something else, though, is like, aren't you a human in Minecraft?
Yeah.
Sure, a blocky human, but aren't you a human?
Yeah.
Terraria, aren't you just a human confined to a two-dimensional plane, forced and forever to suffer in your complacent existence, which doesn't mean anything until you fight big boss. Sorry, what?
but, wait.
Like, aren't you human in both of those?
Yeah. A human that can survive, like, a few feet fall.
Okay, yes, but, like, you know, it's like, in Pokemon, you know, you're not.
You're
not
just
controlling human. Wouldn't it be a bit weird to represent like giant monsters' healths with hearts?
Yeah, that's not gonna make it intimidating.
I mean, besides that, actually, I feel like there are a couple of games that represent a monster, well, boss health and hearts. I just don't remember any. But other than that, if we suppose that hearts give things humanity. Then if you have a monster with hearts, then you're slowly, murdering them. And you sort of show that in a sort of, hey, this monster has a family too. And guess what? You're killing him.
That's really grim.
I don't think that's true for,
yeah, what's up?
I don't think that's true for, like, Terraria and Minecraft. Because in the end, you're just trying to survive. So, like, that heart could represent, like, your desire to survive out in the wild. Like your heart set on surviving, not dying.
I guess so, yeah, that works too. But, like, can we think of any games that uses hearts for boss health? Other than Undertale, because we just did, like, a lot on that.
No.
No, wait, really?
Oh, Shovel Knight, right? Because they don't use hearts, but they use, like, orbs that kind of represent health.
I've never played Shovel
Knight. I've never played Shovel Knight ever.
Well, damn it. I didn't either.
Bosses that have hearts as health?
Or boss heart-based bosses?
Heart-based bosses? Oh, wait, that's interesting, actually. That's probably a lot more interesting than... Wait, that's a good idea. Are there any bosses that are literal hearts?
I feel like there would probably be something like that in Binding of Isaac.
You played it, right? Is there something like that?
Not exactly. You fight... This might demonetize. You fight a fetus.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Great. Hey, but, yeah, continue.
You don't fight any hearts, but you fight, like, fleshy-based, like, abominations that don't relate to the heart, but, like, other organ parts, or maybe, quantities of the human body, like, a decaying, like, head that spits out flies.
Kind of grim.
Yes, the demonic spleen.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, yes. Yes. The 12 demonic vertebrae.
You fight your mother, who has a giant foot that can crush you.
Huh?
You fight your mother, which has somehow become like an entire...
Is a giant foot?
And a somewhat... Okay, I don't know how to explain it. But
yeah,
like,
the imagery is really weird.
In the boss fight, you have to fight your mother that's trying to kill you. Her eye sockets and parts of her body will literally come out through the doors. Like, actual chunks of flesh. And then, like, you have, like, her hands and, like, feet trying to crush you. Like, she's not human anymore. She's just an abomination. I see. And after that, you entered like this like fleshy area.
I see.
Which is characterized by which is called the womb.
I'm sure we can all, you know, assume what that means. But I think that what's really interesting that you brought up is you were saying before Binding of Isaac has like demon hearts, and, like gray hearts and real hearts.
Yeah, and to be honest, like every single enemy in the game, I just realized they don't have like heart related attributes. They're just like parts of the body, but there's nothing relating to hearts in terms of enemies.
I see. Do you want to like, you know, I went off on a tangent about Undertale.
It could be similar to Undertale where like they're not represented, lack of part represents the lack of humanity, because like in the end you have just like giant pieces of abominations just like trying to kill you, and you're the only one who can like fight back and actually like knows what they're doing. I don't know, it's just that heart represents the humanity's case, because like so far the enemies without hearts don't actually look human, while like enemies with hearts look somewhat human. And I say somewhat human because like some enemies, some of the player, one of the playable characters is a dead body, I think.
That's still somewhat
human. And then a flying demon.
That's no longer somewhat human. Which looks like
the human character, so I'm counting that.
Okay, cool. But I mean, like, what do you think are the implications? Like, you described it beautifully, right? It's like the none of the boss enemies, none of your enemies
are human.
Have hearts. None of them are human anymore. You want to give us some insight into why they're not human? Like some exposition and plot?
Religiously, you could be like selling your soul to the devil, because there's literally satanic imagery and heavenly imagery everywhere.
I feel like we should have done a disclaimer.
Oh boy.
We should have done a disclaimer. Binding of Isaac is not a family-friendly game.
We'll put it in a disclaimer before the intro.
Yes.
We'll record that later.
Just like talk about Binding of Isaac and how not family-friendly it is.
Yeah. Yes.
We're going to get demonetized.
Well, not if we put a disclaimer, but I don't know. But I think you described it really beautifully, where while Undertale has you as a heart the entire time, and like the monsters don't have hearts, but they still have humanity, Binding of Isaac takes that concept and amplifies it by like 100 million, where you're the only one with humanity left.
Yes. Right. And here's the thing you can do with your hearts. You can, there are attributes in this game called Devil Deals, where you can actually trade some of your permanent health or like temporary health into like items that you can use. In the turn, you gain more power and abilities, but you lose some sense of humanity as well. So, and if you give too much, you die.
You're literally selling your soul to the devil in this instance.
Do you think that's what happened to the boss characters?
I mean, probably, because like they get, the double deal items are crazy powerful and they do wacky things, like give you lasers, I would say fly, more damage, grow weird horns and stuff.
What?
Horns and stuff.
Horns, okay.
Yeah. But there's also like, in a sense, a way to gain humanity, either by like taking parts that aren't human and then trying to apply that to yourself, because like there are some boss items that increases your HP, which are body parts.
I see.
Or like something that that's reminiscent of humanity, like a juice box, like or Jesus juice, I guess there.
It's called.
It's called Jesus juice, and there's this like attribute in the game where you can find churches. I don't know, but they're like Catholic buildings that you can Catholic rooms that you can enter, and they have like angel. I don't know what they're called, but they're like angel hearts where they're like half a heart. But if you beat the entire like floor, you end up getting a new heart, new permanent health bar.
I see.
So like gaining humanity in a sense.
By defeating abominations?
By finding like angel like hearts.
Right. Are there any
It's like ever really religious tied into it.
Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what to say to that, honestly. But
are there any direct, like, references? Not references. Do you ever encounter, like, the devil itself?
I mean, yeah, he's a boss.
Oh, he's the final boss, I'm assuming?
Sometimes. Depending on your ending, because there's also, like, multiple endings as well, depending on, like, what you do in the dungeons. I see. And I didn't buy the DLC, but there's like a DLC expansion pack where you also have to fight yourself as an angel and stuff, which is pretty sick. And also you fight an actual angel or something.
That's cool. What I think is really cool about Binding of Isaac is that it's like all of the abominations. You talked about devil deals, right? And it's like how you sacrifice some of your humanity in order to gain power. It's like, can we draw a parallel between that and the bosses? You know, so hungry for power that they sold all of their humanity away and now are simply abominations, just shells of their past.
Probably. Self. Sometimes when they attack, they have like a quirky happy face or like something to show pride and so there are some unique bosses, like mini bosses. They're called like the Seven Sins and the Four Horsemen Apocalypse.
Yeah.
They're basically somewhat humanoid creatures, but with different weird attributes. Like pride, I think, just like shoots lasers and drops bombs everywhere.
Right.
One of the sins like drop bombs and plays something similar to Bomberman.
Oh right, I see.
Lust just chases you and tries to kill you by touching you.
Ah, I see.
Contact damage.
Well, that makes sense, right? It's like Evan's here looking at me with a confused face. But like that makes sense, right? It's like when you have lust. How do we put this in child's brain?
You want to touch someone.
Wait, no, that's not.
Well, no, but that's like the sin of lust, right? Like I'm not religious, so I don't know about you guys.
I'm not really
not to offend anyone out there. But like, I don't know. Have you had experience with religion in any way?
Not really. I mean, is Buddhism a religion?
Yes.
Yes, Buddhism is a religion. It's
like, yes, it is.
Because it's like, you don't really have gods. You just sort of have like, don't do stupid stuff and, you know, break free from reincarnation and all that.
Well, understandable.
It's like, if you do stupid stuff, you're going to be a fly in your next life.
I had only had one negative religion experience. And it was like being taken to like a Christian summer school. Oh. I hated every second.
Anyways.
This is a massive tangent to what we're actually trying to say.
But like lust, right? It's like real life lust is your desire to...
Weely wonga wongong.
That. to touch someone. You know, we're all mature here.
Yes.
Real life lust is like you want to have intimate relations with someone. But those intimate relations aren't so much a desire... than a definition to your life now, right? And with lust in, you know, Binding of Isaac...
It actually becomes like a part of their life now.
Yeah, all she has to do is touch you to
kill you,
you know?
And with
or
lust...
Or him, I can't tell the gender.
It's literally just,
there is no, like, gender differentiation.
It's just a fetus.
That's fine, probably. Especially with lust, it's differentiated from love, because love, it's physical as well as emotional, right?
Yes.
But with lust, it's primarily physical, because if you have an emotional connection with someone and you want to like be with them in that kind of way, then that's love, or that can be like a very intense love. But when you only see them as like, oh, you want them for, you know, their prettiness, in a sense, then that's lust.
Right.
And in Binding of Isaac, it's words. basically what Jeremy said, it's exemplified in sort of contact damage instead of, like, shooting you from afar with emotion beams.
We can use pride as a different example, too, because the sin of pride in Binding of Isaac acts like a... uses super strong attack, uses super large scale attacks to, like, represent that, like, feeling of, like, self-pride and, like, a big ego, because his main attacks is screaming... And which summons lasers in four different diagonal directions. And then sometimes he summons a wave of bombs randomly, and you have to survive the onslaught explosives.
I see. Okay.
Yeah, like he is a very large scale.
That's really cool. And I think that Binding of Isaac does that really well, where you're selling your soul, you're selling your hearts to the devil in exchange for power.
Or in
exchange... Wait, what? You can sell hearts to get hearts?
No, you can... you can't sell hearts to get hearts, but you can... Like, get regular hearts normally.
You can get hearts normally.
Accessories and bosses.
Right, and it's like, I think that Binding of Isaac is really interesting in that it sort of takes, like, well, our interpretation of, you know, Undertale's, like, philosophy, and sort of flips it on its head.
I can even, like, go more deeper and say that, like, the horoscope items that you can find in Binding of Isaac can actually improve, it can actually, like, define, like, your play style, which in turn kind of, like, represents how, like, a horoscope chooses what you, like, become in terms of your humanity. Like, for example...
Or the notion that horoscopes
choose. For example, let's say you get the Cancer horoscope. You end up getting more health and becoming more protective, which is kind of what a representation... Kind
of
like...
It's reminiscent of, like, you know...
Health. Yeah.
The Cancer's horoscope, like, I'm assuming.
I mean, Cancer's a crab.
I'm not big on horoscopes.
Yeah,
but
me neither.
But concerning the fact how, like, The Binding of Isaac is super accurate in terms of, like, based on its, like, inspirational material.
Yeah.
I can safely assume that, like, the horoscope's, like, abilities in the game kind of represent, like, what they actually, represent in terms of, like, human, like, human...
Heart? Soul?
Soul, personality, attributes, yeah. Because there's also Libra, which means you're perfectly balanced.
Yeah.
It balances out all your stats, but also kind of represents that, like, you're completely stable.
Yeah, and so you don't specialize in anything, you know?
Yeah.
And with Binding of Isaac, super strong, like, nod towards religion. I wouldn't say nod, actually. I would say base, right?
Yeah.
Base of religion. I think that how it exemplifies the human heart and how it exemplifies, you know, like, bosses and characters, that's what it does. That's something that it does... ridiculously well from just what I've heard. Like, I've never played the game. I don't know about you, Evan.
I've played it some, not really all that much because I keep dying in the first couple of levels.
Here's a tip. Move back away from the enemy and shoot. You have a large amount of range.
I
just snipe
have
them.
Known to move away from the enemy, Jeremy. But Jeremy, you cleared the game, right?
Like twice. Because
yeah,
I suck.
It's like, I just think that Binding of Isaac does this super... you know, interesting thing with the way that it represents human hearts and stuff. And yeah, like, we've talked about Binding of Isaac and Undertale, and any other games with, like, human heart mechanics in them?
Legend of Zelda, but that's kind of similar to, like, Terraria and how Minecraft uses them.
That's true, but I think, Legend of Zelda, actually, in Breath of the Wild, when you have heart canisters, you can't just crush one and then immediately gain health. No, you have to actually go pray to a temple, to a statuous of a goddess, and then she grants you with either stamina or health. And then that, I think that's just really cool. I don't know how we would look into it. I mean, but I think that it's really cool.
Somewhat like inspirational, like health, I guess?
Or like praying to a goddess that then gives you more vitality, you know?
Yeah.
Or that gives you more, stamina or vitality when you pray to her. And when you, like...
Hearts are very funky.
When you satisfy... Yeah, hearts are very funky. But I don't know how long it's been, but I think it's been a pretty long time.
Very long time.
I don't know. We can check, probably. Let's see. How long has it been? Wow, it's been 40 minutes. We can do, like, 10 more minutes of recording.
Yeah, probably.
I don't see why not. It's like a Valentine's Day special, you know.
Yeah, fun time.
10 extra minutes just for
my
all of you.
My voice just cracked.
Just for all of you, guys. You know, I think that what's really interesting is that, like, a heart can represent so much.
Definitely.
Right?
Well, it represents a lot.
humanity and your desire to survive. Your humanity, your own spirit. And you, in this case, hearts mean more than just love.
Yeah.
It's more of, like, a representation of who you are and how much of you do you have
left
in you.
Yeah, that's actually a really good way to put it.
Words.
Word, bro.
Yes, I meant it in that way. What do I say? Help.
But, like, seriously, I think that, like... You know, hearts don't have to be about love. You know, like, we started off this episode having no idea what to talk about. We talked about, like, hearts being love, and, like, mechanically they work, right? You know, you've played a lot more games than both of us. Like, health points and hearts, like...
The thing is, overwhelmingly, I've seen more health bars than actual health, like, heart containers. But other than that, hearts, I think, they are a very strong symbol. It's just, they're... Not It's just their shape. They don't work for some games, but otherwise, if they do work for the game, especially if the game has a very strong emotional context, except for Minecraft, or Terraria, or all the other games, but especially in a game with a strong emotional context, they do work. Because they represent humanity, and when you die, I mean, you lose yourself, and you lose all the humanity with it, you know?
Yeah, if that's true, in that case, we can consider how health bars of character icons as health. Like, for example, heads that represent your health bar can also kind of represent your heart, because hearts usually represent your life, right?
Yeah.
By using different character heads, like in Hollow Knight, you use the player's head, right? Yeah. That technically you count it as the player's, like, health bar, and like health, and like the bar, and like the heads count as hearts, because technically that's a representation of your character.
Yeah, good
like
point.
Hearts.
Yeah, yeah. I just sort of imagine them like wearing like 17 different masks on their head, and one of them breaks when they get hit.
Yeah, but I think Hollow Knight is really interesting because the entire game, although it doesn't use hearts, is about maintaining your humanity.
Your main plot is to end a biological containment.
All right, so I'm not very confident to talk about the lore, but I do think I can say something about it. So in the world of Hollow Knight, masks, I think, help bugs to focus their mind and sort of give them a higher thought. And really, the game of Hollow Knight is about trying to beat back this sort of force that's keeping the world in stasis and keeping all of the bugs in a sort of hive mind. So, yeah, in a sense, it's really about maintaining about fighting to maintain the individuality of every single bug in the kingdom that you're trying to save.
I don't think some of them are masks. I think they're actually their heads.
Some of them are masks, some of them are heads, but the point is you do need a face or an identity to try to focus your sense of self.
Yeah, right? That can definitely represent the humanity part of Hollow Knight, too. Like,
or bug-manity.
These are our hearts. Our hearts are our faces.
Yeah, and I think
actually take that to heart.
Our hearts
do not rely on your face.
Rips out
do
my
not.
Heart, puts it on my face.
Personality better than looks. Change my mind.
I can't.
Yeah, I'm not going to try.
But I think that it's also really emphasized by the fact that you are literally a ghost. Like, your player character is a ghost.
I think we're transitioning to Halloween now.
Well, I think that, you know, this perfectly applies to, like, the heart and humanity sort of argument, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, what is the player character?
Yeah. The player character is interesting in that in Hollow Knight, they're meant to be a completely empty vessel, right? Because they're literally the child of some greater being that's been murdered and filled with a void. But even after, you know, they've been brutally murdered and resurrected as a living corpse, essentially, they in the game, they still do show signs of their
humanity,
but bug.
Yes, that.
Yeah, they do show signs of a sense of self besides a single-minded goal to kill whatever boss or whatever being is prolonging Hollowness's stasis. And I think that's interesting. I mean, even after you've literally died and someone's tried to basically remove everything about you to make this this perfect hollow being, there are still traces that cling on in there. And even, you know, in Hollow Knight, the actual Hollow Knight was supposed to be the perfect vessel, but without mind, without a will to break. But no matter how anyone tried, no one could actually create the perfect vessel without an identity. And I think that's just really interesting concept in Hollow Knight.
Yeah, and just while we're on the topic of humanity, what's the game that emphasizes humanity so much that it is literally the basis of everything that its lore, you know, like, stands by? It's Dark Souls.
Oh, right, that.
Dark Souls is...
They don't use hearts, though.
They don't, but I think that Dark Souls does something that it's like... The hearts of those who have lost their humanity are now permanently lost, you know? We can just take the four original Lords of Cinder, you know? Actually, I'm not even going to take the four. I'm going to take Artorias, the most famous one. The most famous Lord of Cinder.
I don't think Artorias was a Lord of Cinder. I think
was he one of the Guardians?
He was a Knight of Gwyn that just sort of fell to the Abyss.
Oh, one of the four Knights of Gwyn.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Should we add some context? I'm already lost here because I've never played Dark Souls.
Okay, so... With Dark Souls, I don't know. I think we're both pretty well-versed about the lore.
Well, Gwyn is God, basically. Gwyn is God.
Gwyn is God. Gwyn brought light to humans. And every 100 years, a human is sent to rekindle the fire with their body, with everything, you know, with their humanity, with their soul. And, you know, it's a very difficult task. And Artorias was one of the protectors of Gwyn.
Yeah.
And so Artorias, he used to be a human. He had a dog. He had a dog. It was a really big dog.
It's a very, very big dog.
Good boy.
Yeah, good boy.
Yeah, he taught girl. It. I'm honestly not sure. I mean, it's a dog and he taught it how to use a sword, apparently.
Yeah, but one day, you know, Gwyn sent him into the abyss to combat the dark. You know, when the Age of Fire was ending, Artorias and the other four knights of Gwyn were sent to combat the darkness, and Artorias was sent to the abyss. And Artorias is one of the greatest knights of all time, but as he falls into the abyss, he slowly begins to lose against the darkness. He begins to lose his sanity. He begins to lose the humanity that defined him. And then in Dark Souls 3, when you fight the Abyss Watchers, in Dark Souls 1, because Dark Souls 1 takes place after the, you know, events of the knights all, like, sort of becoming corrupted and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, in Dark Souls 1, when you go to fight Artorias, like, people are just assuming that Artorias is down there still fighting the dark, but you go down there and discover that, like you, like your player character, his humanity has been stripped away. He no longer has a heart to speak of, and he's only defined by this will and this desire to kill, you know?
I think especially the thing about Dark Souls is that it kind of subverts the concepts that we've talked about in all the other games, because, you know, in Undertale, in Binding of Isaac, the heart represents your humanity, right? It represents your morality, it represents everything that we consider good in a person. But in Dark Souls, humanity can represent something that's much darker. And with Dark Wraiths, they literally go out dressed all in black, you know, edgy boy style, and they steal humanity. And especially with the Abyss, and I think Manus, primordial man.
Yes, that.
He's supposed to have absorbed, I guess, so much Abyss or so much humanity that he's become a monster. And what's really interesting in Dark Souls is that humanity is represented this way. It's represented as something that's not just a plain force for good. It's something that's very complex that can be something that can represent you or something that consumes you.
Yeah, and I think that's super interesting. And it sort of takes the concept of a heart, right, representing a singular thing, your soul, and it expands that so much more to say that you don't need to have a heart to be human, but you cannot be, you know, you don't need a heart to be human, but, you know, neither can you have a heart without being human in some sort. It's like, you can have humanity, but you don't have to have a heart, much like the primordial human, yeah. The hunter, the one with the longbow.
There are a lot of people with longbows in Dark Souls.
The big guy with the bow in Dark Souls 1. He shot down the dragons. Or, you know what, not even. The Nameless King, Gwyn's son, he no longer has a heart, but he is still human. But, you know, in order to... But when you do have a heart, you still maintain some of your humanity. Doesn't work either way. You can be human without having a heart, but having a heart does not guarantee that you are human.
That kind of could add to the symbolism too. Like, not having heart sort of like health. And like Dark Souls already symbolizes how like humanity is like,
yeah,
gone.
Humanity is not a symbol of health. Humanity is much darker and much deeper.
It can neither be a fire or like some sort of
darkness, you know? Yeah. And I think that's a good place to end.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's some thought that we've given you guys. All the games that we talked about today
are... You thought we were going to give you romance, but instead we're going to give you some philosophical...
Philosophical.
I can't speak English, but philosophical...
some philosophical things to go away with. You know, all of the games that we mentioned today are excellent, and you should pick them up. Dark Souls, Terraria...
Minecraft?
Yeah.
Legend of Zelda.
Binding of Isaac.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of those are amazing games. Definitely go listen to them. Or not listen to them.
Play them.
But play them. You know. And yeah, this was our Valentine's Day special. There is no school next week, which means that we actually won't be seeing each other. So
we will see you next Friday.
Next Friday. Yeah.
That's a lot of Fridays.
Normally I do the intro, but would one of you two like to do the?
My name is Jeremy.
My name is Evan.
My name is Eric.
And this is Three Scarves Gaming.
Thank you for listening, and have an excellent next week or so, and have an excellent Valentine's Day.